my mom, I think, met my father at a Duran Duran concert of some or something of that sort. Was a whoopsie child. Things happened. I happened, and yeah.
Do I have this right? You mentioned that you're named after a certain rock personality.
Yes, the breath of Australia's 80s new wave, In Excess. So my first name, Michael, is after their former lead singer, Michael Hutchence. And my middle name, John, J-O-N, is after their drummer, John Ferris. So suffice to say, my mom was a huge fan of In Excess at the time.
So you're like the love child of Duran Duran and In Excess. You have this stuff in your blood.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Gabriel Spitzer. You're tuned to Sound Effect. And this gentleman, who was raised on 80s and 90s new wave, is 30-year-old Michael Henriksen. In high school, Michael was not into this music. He was more into new metal and hip-hop. But that changed when he walked into a piano bar in Minnesota and heard the angelic voice of Debbie Gibson.
Now only in my dreams. Yeah, I just remember people would get up and dance, and I'm like, oh God, what is the breath of this music that I have never been exposed to before? Yeah, I don't know. Something about it's very infectious. It's makes you want to dance, get up. It's very unique to a time period, and I guess with having that blood relation to In Excess, it just came out in me.
Michael was all in, diving deep into 80s music. Along the way, he picked up a special fondness for one particular artist, Billy Idol. Michael saw him live a few times, including a show at Tulalip Casino just north of Everett. And something about that show left kind of a sour taste in his mouth.
I remember being very irked by the fact that one of my favorite artists was playing at a casino. It just makes you think like, oh man, you're way bigger than this. You could be playing, you know, more prestigious venues like a Paramount or a more theater of that case. And something about that kind of ticked me off that I needed, ticked off, like not in a bad way, but ticked off in an idea sort of way that maybe I need to look into this a little bit.
So you saw that Billy Idol show and you got the spark of an idea inside somewhere. What was the idea?
Yeah. To get Billy Idol to come play at my birthday party. I think, I mean, when you say that, you're like, okay, was he playing in your kitchen? You know, I felt if I could get him to play a public show in Seattle, you know, at any sort of venue with no budget, mind you, I'm not of any wealth. How can I accomplish this? And I think it was not just the Billy Idol idea kind of coming into my head. There was a lot of things happening in my life right out of college. And it's like, man, I'm $40,000 in debt. I'm selling board shorts at Billabong in Bellevue Square, and I can't even get a full-time job with this diploma that is in my hands that's costing me so much money. And I was at the age, too, where people get married, moving across the country. So it occurred to me after I saw Billy Idol at that Tulalip show, how do I further my professional career and get over this hump of people saying, no, you know, we're not going to take you on as an intern? How do I get all my friends in one place, and how do I do something that's sort of never been done before?
At first, Michael got the same answer he would get when he would go apply for jobs and internships. No. But Michael just decided he wasn't going to accept that. Instead, he'd work at it for 2 years, determined not to take no for an answer. So, first step, create a website.
So I had to get content for the website. So I went out and I bought a video camera. I need to get celebrities involved. People love celebrities. So I had a friend that worked at the Parlor in Bellevue, the comedy club. And I asked her if she could sneak me after the show to go meet Kevin Nealon of Saturday Night Live fame. And my introduction to him was, hey, huge fan. Could you do me a solid and tell Billy Idol on camera to come play at my birthday party?
Billy Idol, Kevin Nealon, you got to come to Seattle next October to do Michael's birthday. It's going to be awesome.
I think they're so caught off by what you're asking, they just figure, okay, why not? And I would send out a mass BCC email about, hey, why does Apollo Anton Ono and Ron Jeremy want Billy Idol to come play this local Seattle kid's birthday party?
So here you are, you're slowly but surely cobbling together this list of, I don't want to say like A minus
level. You can say level. C plus Fabio. Where do you rank Fabio?
Did you really get Fabio?
Yeah, we got Fabio.
What?
Was, funny story. He was selling his protein powder at the Whole Foods in Inner Bay.
Do me a favor. You know, Mike was a great guy, and, you know, I'm having this big party, and can you do me a big favor? Can you come up in Seattle, and let's have some fun, and I'll join you, and we can really have some great time.
The ball kept rolling with celebrities, and I could tell the local media was certainly jumping on the bit to see who I'd get next, and that's when I finally heard from Billy Idol's management about a year into the project. And I remember getting a phone call from Tony Dimitrakis, who works with East End Management, and they also rep like Tom Petty and the Beach Boys, and obviously I was freaking out on the other line of the phone, and he's like, you know, why are you doing this? What are you trying to get out of this? What do you want? And, you know, I told him, look, I'm in debt. I can't seem to find work in a field that I love. And I want to do something outside of the box and something different. It felt at the time that they were just trying to, hey, let's acknowledge him and let's see if he goes away. And that kind of sparked me to do more. So I came up with Billy Idol Aid, which was a spinoff of Live Aid. And we eventually did four events and raised over $17,000 for Northwest Harvest, which is a local food bank here in Seattle, and for the American Red Cross. And I created a band called Nightwave off of Craigslist. Certainly turned some heads when we had about 1,000 people show up for a cover band that had only played one show before.
You brought in 1,000 people to go watch?
Almost 1,000. I think 900 or so people ended up coming to this Billy Idol Aid 2 event. Billy Idol at the second Billy Idol Aid event sent a video, which you know, was him acknowledging the project a year into this thing, which was certainly like mind-blowing.
By any reasonable sort of person's appraisal, you won already. Like this, yeah. This should be the climax of the story.
Yeah, but I took a step back and said, you know, this was not the goal of the project. The goal of the project was not to get a 20-second video from Billy Idol. The goal of the project was to get him to come play a concert.
What was the next development then?
I got a call about a week out from Billy's management team saying, hey, we're going to send you a video to show at this final Billy Idol Aid. We don't want to give anything away, but we'll send you it about 2 days beforehand and you can show it at the show. I'm like, okay, what does this mean? By some sort of miracle, AEG Live, which runs the Showbox venues, had come to an agreement for Billy Idol to come play a show because of this project on October, I believe, 25th or 26th of 2012 at Showbox Soto. And I remember getting the call. I was at work at the time at Bellevue Square, and I just sprinted outside of the mall and just freaked out.
So the idea was that he wasn't going to show up at the Billy Idol Aid 4 show. He was going to send a video announcing the October show.
Okay. Yeah. So he sent this video. So again, my band Nightwave had played the show, and so yeah, we got off stage. They played the video. I tried to tell as many people to be quiet so they could hear what was being said, since there was no text on a screen. And you know, it's Billy Idol saying, all right, untwist your knickers, we're doing it. We're coming to Seattle at the Showbox Soto.
For what is sure to be one of the most memorable birthday parties your city has ever known.
And then from there, it was just an absolute whirlwind. I mean, the show went on sale that night, sold out in 2 days. You know, CNN comes calling, Good Morning America, the BBC, the Today Show in Australia, every local radio morning personality in the United States. And I had no idea.
Was that fun, or was it just bewildering, or what was it like?
In a short spurt, thrilling. Like, yeah. How cool to be able to live that life for a week. But long term, I have no idea how anyone in their right mind that has that sort of celebrity status, you know, does it.
So what was it like to actually meet the man?
Yeah. So after all that, after 2 years, I really only got to talk to him for about like 2 minutes tops. They had a row of cameras lined up and they're like, okay, we're going to have you meet Billy now. You can tell he's kind of hamming it up for the camera. All right. Yeah, we're here in Seattle. All right. We're doing it. This is great. All right. So it was a little awkward. I didn't know what to say. But yeah, we talked for 90 seconds. I mean, the interview's up on YouTube, and I shake his hand nervously a bunch of times. It's so awkward.
Thank you so, so much from the bottom of my heart for coming out here with your band, and it's been a crazy
show. The show was kind of a blur. I was in the crowd, but then people kept pulling me aside, wanted to take photos. I'm like, this is not the way to enjoy a concert after 2 years of trying to get this to happen. So here we are 5 years later, and we're still sort of talking about it.
Well, what do you feel like you learned from this experience about not taking no for an answer?
There's so many points in this project where it would have been very easy for me to say no and to stop the project, whether it had been my girlfriend saying, hey, I need more of your time, or whether it be Billy Idol sending me an initial video saying, hey, great job, way to raise so much money, or whether it was, you know, 1,000 people at the Shellbox for a cover band no one knows about. There's so many points where you could stop and say, my God, I'm so lucky, I'm so blessed to have this happen to me. But there's just something to be said about, you know, creating a goal and doing everything that you can to achieve that.
Yeah. If you could meet, let's say, another standout 1980s pop star, who would it be?
If I could meet one?
Yeah. Invite one to come over
so
for breakfast.
Many. I'd say probably, if I say one band, probably Duran Duran.
Dear Duran Duran, Michael Henriksen was conceived because of your show.
It's true.
You're the reason for him, and I think you should probably come to Seattle and play a breakfast show.
Yeah, you hear that, Simon LeBon?
Well, Michael Henriksen works in marketing at UW-Medicine here in Seattle, and about 5 years ago now, he had Billy Idol come and play his birthday show, and his birthday is coming up in October, right? Happy birthday.
Yeah, it's October 22nd.
Thanks so much, Michael.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.